Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast brought to you by Inspire Citizens. I'm your host, Scott Jameson. On this podcast, we are going to be diving into the voices and stories of students who own their learning and impact their communities. Hi, this is Scott. Thanks for listening to the Empathy to Impact podcast. Oprah Winfrey said, "Everybody has a story, and there's something to be learned from every experience." At Inspire Citizens, this is something we strongly believe. As part of EcoMedia, we offer a program called Out of the Blocks. It was inspired by a podcast of the same name, created by Wendell Patrick and Aaron Hankin. Out of the Blocks is a uniquely immersive listening experience that emerges from a mosaic of voices and soundscapes on the streets of Baltimore. A custom-tailored score colors and connects this tapestry of stories hidden in plain sight. I would encourage you to check that out at a link in the show notes. Something really amazing happens when we use our active listening skills and engage with people and listen to their stories. Everybody has a story. At Irondale High School in Minnesota, Jeremy Hatchie designed a learning experience based on this for a class called Reading and Writing for Social Justice. Students talked to people in their community, uncovered untold stories, and the impact on both themselves and their audience was quite profound. I hope you enjoy this episode as we look back at a conversation with Aisha, Amina, and Emilio and their experience as storytellers. Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Scott Jameson, and I am here today on a very, very cold morning in Minnesota with three seniors from Irondale High School, and we're going to be talking about social justice. I'm going to introduce you to my three guests today. Here with me are Emilio, Aisha, and Amina, and we're going to be talking about a project that they've been doing in an elective class in their school. So my first question to the three of you is, what inspired you to choose a course on writing for social justice as an elective?
My siblings and I are always talking about social justice issues, especially like economically, like capitalism, how it affects low socioeconomic people. And so I thought it was kind of fitting that I could take this class as an elective in my senior year. So yeah, it kind of spawned from inspiration of my siblings and conversations that we have.
To branch off of that, there is clearly issues regarding social justice. And so when it came to my attention that this was an opportunity, that this was even an option, I said, why not? I felt that it would really expand my ideas more. I felt that I could really learn and just gain from it. Honestly, it's one of the best decisions I've made throughout my time here.
So for me, it was because I'm a shy person and like I don't talk as much. It was like a step up for me. And so what has happened in the past, like the past 2 years ago, like what has happened with George Floyd and stuff, I was like, this is a good opportunity for me to step up and learn more.
I love that. I think social justice is something that really has come to the forefront all over the media in just about anywhere you live in the world. And I love how you've taken some of that inspiration from your family or from things you've seen in the media, or just taking an opportunity to kind of level up your knowledge and choosing a course like this, I think is fantastic. And I also love that your school offers a course like this to bring this into and create this opportunity for you to learn about this. It's such an important topic. So I think that's really exciting. Can you tell me a little bit about the unit you just finished on storytelling for justice? What was that all about?
So essentially what we were to do was in the beginning, it was to kind of base off of more of like one central idea regarding a social issue. We were to interview an individual and we thought would be fit for the project, of course. As we interviewed them, we were supposed to ask them questions regarding anything, around difficulties and adversity that they face throughout their life in order to get them to where they are. We were supposed to have this interview with them and record it. It was supposed to be an audio. With that audio, we were supposed to turn it into a transcript with the information that we gained. From that transcript, we were to essentially turn it into a story and the person we were interviewing's point of view and their first person. That's what it became. From there, we had the opportunity to publish it and to try to get it into a school newspaper.
I think the project as a whole too, like, forced us to look at whoever you were interviewing and just basically any adversity they face, like how the fact that society as a whole or any other factors would keep them from speaking out about something that affected them negatively or something that affected their life trajectory. And I think that like kind of tied into the whole social justice class as a whole.
I think sometimes too, when we think about some of these different communities in our own neighborhoods, there are members of our community that don't always have their voice heard in our society. And I think it's really cool that we're looking at opportunities to kind of amplify these voices that don't often get that opportunity to tell their stories. One of the things we believe in Inspire Citizens is that everybody has a story. And we've done a number of learning experiences similar to the one you've done, where we send students out to the community to meet the people in their neighborhood and capture these stories. So I think that's really cool. How did you come to select your topic and the subject of your interview as you were kind of planning this project out?
For me personally, it was actually difficult because I was kind of stuck in an area where like I wanted to make sure it was more general. It was as general as possible so that it would have the most potential possible. It would have the biggest ability to have like the biggest web underneath it as possible. I didn't want to just steer towards just one subject, which could lead to me having limited, whether it was resources, information, and et cetera. So I guess that's probably what was most difficult, just trying to make sure that our subject had the most potential possible.
I sort of took a different route. I was really specific about who and like what I wanted to interview about. I ended up interviewing my sister, but a lot of like my experience that has to do with like having immigrant parents and navigating the school system and navigating a world that doesn't look like you. And so my older sister, who like immigrated here with my parents, is what we honestly talked about and how that affected her life and how she navigated that school system. So I think that's how I chose my topic, about like noticing something that I knew affected my life very much.
For my story, it was kind of difficult to find a person because I was thinking of friends and family. And so it was like a hard option to pick between. So I went to go ask around like who would do it, and my sister said she would, and that's how I found the person.
I love the personal connection that you were able to use and when you're kind of going into this and looking at a story that really has a lot of meaning for each of you. I think that's really important to have that kind of personal connection. But I think it kind of adds to the experience when you're telling these stories. Can you tell me a little bit about the process of building your story as you started out? And Emilio talked a little bit about kind of start out with an idea and then you're planning. And then you have a transcript and that turns into a first-person narrative. So it's a bit of a, can you kind of talk a little bit about how that process came together for you individually?
I can go first on this one. I will say it was a little messy because my sister's schedule was all over the place. But I think the conversation that we ended up having was very like long and meaningful and at times emotional because like you're talking about a very heavy topic. But I think the process in itself was very, how should I put it, like therapeutic, just because like you're talking about something that isn't necessarily always brought up in media or society or something that's brought up in class. So yeah.
So for me, it was kind of like difficult because me and my sister don't like usually see each other because she's like working when I'm home and it's kind of difficult. So like we had to set a time and date. That way she can do that. Like she can be there and I could be there as well. And so I figured out questions I'd ask her and just like was a long conversation.
Essentially, when I went around, so I ended up interviewing the associate principal here at Irondale. Just a quick little backstory. There was a time he came into our classroom and he spoke to us. This was at the beginning of the year. And just his demeanor, his aura, everything about him, it just stuck out to me. I really seen his ability to touch lives. I could just see it and I didn't even know the guy. So this is someone whom I reached out to pretty much right away. He was someone I had in mind right away. The build-up for this, essentially, we had the interview, and throughout this interview, I told him like we talked about was like, let's just, this phone doesn't have to be here. We don't have to really acknowledge the phone or anything. Like, let's just have a conversation. And that's what we ended up doing. We had a conversation, and I just took his information. I took notes down as well, which I wasn't even sure if that was even part of the project, but I took notes down on his answers. I put whether it was the time frame of where things were in the audio and the recording. From there, I just took what he gave me and I just turned it into a story. I tried to add as minimal stuff of my own as possible. Basically, I just wanted to narrate for him, and I ended up creating itself. It's his story. I just put it together.
When we're talking about social justice, and issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is sometimes a bit of a sensitive subject, and some of these conversations can get difficult and emotional, and you really kind of need a safe space to kind of have these conversations, but I think they're so important. Were there any challenges of this nature that you ran into with this project?
As Amina said, this is a heavier topic. Interviewing my person, he basically told me about the struggle growing up in poverty. So it's a heavy topic. He touched base on what it was like developing that responsibility to have to, you know, take care of his mother, take care of his grandma, living in a time where the narrative is school is everything, school is the only way out, school is this, school is that. So it was just, as Amina had said before, it's a heavy topic.
I feel like for me, it was a similar experience because I am a Somali Muslim here. And so me and my sister had like similar stories.
Yeah, and to add off of that, I think like, when you're asking about anybody's experience with inequity or discrimination, it's always going to be like a scar that they're rehashing open. Like it's not something that will genuinely heal because like it's still an issue that society faces today. Like discrimination, inequity, all of these things are like not issues that have been solved yet. And so I guess what I kind of noticed during the conversation is just like, it's kind of sad because you're noticing something that's, you know, it's happened, like you've had to like get over it because society's just like, well, you need to move on. Life is always just going to keep going forward. But I guess it was a time to just acknowledge that these wounds are here, that they will always be here, and that it'll take some time for them to heal.
I really like that part about acknowledging these stories. And I think when we're talking and going through some of these difficult experiences, to have someone who's there and listening and experiencing this and acknowledging this, I think that can be really powerful for the person who is telling the story and likely for your audiences as you kind of write the narrative and share these out when you publish. So I think that's really cool. And I like that you brought that up. What are some skills that you acquired throughout this project that you think might serve you well? You are all seniors and kind of moving on to the next stage of your education after this year. What are some skills that this project helped you develop that you feel might be valuable going forward with your education and moving on to the next stage of your journey?
I guess one thing that I learned was just like, it's very simple. It was just simply like asking follow-up questions. Because I'm very much a person that will just like look you in the eye, I'll listen to what you're saying, and I expect you to just like continue what you're saying just because like I trust you that you know that I will always listen to what you're saying. But some people might also need to be prompted and might need to like feel as though you're genuinely listening and you want to learn more. And I just think that's like a social skill that everybody should have, that just ask questions about somebody's life, ask more about how they're doing, and like listen to what they're saying so you can talk more about what they did say, like things like that.
Well, of course, with Amina saying, that's exactly how I feel as well. One of the best ways to really show someone interest is by literally asking questions, asking follow-up questions. This shows you can look at someone directly in the eye and listen to them and be completely zoned out, not listening to a thing they're saying. So asking questions, following up, just engaging in conversation with them, just showing interest, I think is really one of the best ways to show interest and show that you care.
So for me, like, I'm a listener. Like, I listen to people as well. But, like, I feel like talking to them as you're answering their questions will show interest as well.
I love how you've all kind of brought up this idea of active listening and using that to continue the conversation and generate these follow-up questions. I think that's such an important skill when we're thinking about interviewing someone. And we don't often think about listening as a skill. We think of it as something that just sort of comes naturally. But actually, it is something that we can train ourselves to be better at. Thinking along those lines, if there are students who are listening here and thinking about getting into a project where they might have to do an interview, what are some tips that you might offer after going through this process yourself to help them be successful with their interview?
I would just let them know that it's not as difficult as it may seem. It's not as complex as it might really seem. It really just, as you say, it comes down to just being a good listener, just listening to people. There's people all around the world that just have incredible stories that never touch surface, that go so unheard. One of the reasons why I fell for this project so much is because of its ability to give voice to these people's stories, to give voice to these people's thoughts and ideas that would have maybe never touched surface. I asked myself, who would have heard this guy's story if this wasn't a project because this project in and of itself would have never come to my mind. And honestly, I don't think I would have ever developed the idea to have a project like this. I didn't even fully understand the project itself.
I agree as well, but it does come down to listening and just asking the questions, because that way it's easier. It is, like, I would say the same thing. Like, I would have never thought of it. The idea of, like, interviewing somebody, asking questions, I would have never done that for this project.
Tip or advice I'd have is that, like, any question that you might be thinking of or want to ask isn't necessarily, like, stupid or isn't worthy to be asked, because I know, like, people like me or, like, a lot of people our age would be overthinking about what we want to ask or what we're curious about, or if, like, oh, maybe it's stupid, like, maybe everybody knows this answer. Like, I don't think you should overthink those things, especially when you're talking to someone, and if it'll further their experience and, like, their telling of their experience, I think it's something that needs to be asked, as long as it's in the realm of, like, you know, appropriateness.
A very good point. Thank you. I'm wondering now, just thinking about your final product for this project, was a first-person narrative. Why a first-person narrative? There's a number of different ways you could have published. You could have created a video. You could have created a recording or a podcast. It could be just a transcript of the interview. Why publish as a first-person narrative? What does that add to the project by turning it into a story?
I think one of the things I saw with, like, the finished narrative is that, like, it didn't take away anything from my sister's, like, interview. It was just simply her voice and what she was thinking, how she voiced all of her emotions and her actions. So I think having it in a first-person narrative, one, not only, like, embodied her voice completely, but if somebody else was reading it, they'd understand her more, because you're using pronouns like I and, like, I did this and I did that. Like, it gives more of a personal feeling to it, and I think somebody is more likely to be empathetic to a person's situation once they're speaking in first person like that.
Mr. Hatchie, he gave us all the material that we needed. In the material, there was the oral history. This was a variety of a bunch of stories from people all around the world that were sharing their upbringings, their adversities, their shortcomings, everything that they had gone through. And that's essentially what the project ended up revolving around, giving people's stories power, giving the people's stories voice. So by turning it into a story, as you had asked, it just essentially, as Amina stated, it embodied their voice and put it on paper, put it into a story somewhere where now people can read it, people can empathize, people can understand it.
So just a reminder, this course that you're taking is called Reading and Writing for Social Justice. We're probably getting close to that time in the year where students are going to be choosing courses for next year. What would you say to next year's seniors about this course?
I would basically tell them, if you have any idea regarding just making change, if you have anything involving a social justice issue that you want to target, learn more about, it's not unattainable. This class can really help you. This class can give you so much ideas and access to so much information that you maybe never thought of. So this is a class that I would truly consider.
I think one thing that I'd like to tell, like, incoming seniors is that if you do take this class, I'd like people to continue to ask why they think different things, I guess, because, like, in order to get deeper than surface level, I think you need to question why certain systems of oppression exist, or why a certain viewpoint of yours exists, and, like, what perceptions you have or what inspirations might have inspired you to think that way. Because I think once you continue to question why something is, you can understand all the history behind it, why the world works as it works, why oppression exists, like, all of these things. And that's core to what this class is, in my opinion.
I love it. I love that this has inspired you to ask those kind of questions, to ask why, and to look at some of these biases in our society and say, why is that there? How can we unpack this? And then how can we take it apart, really, and move forward as a global society and move beyond some of these issues of discrimination and inequity? So I think that's fantastic. Aisha, anything you want to add for next year's incoming class?
Well, so for me, I would say if you're a shy person, this class would help a lot. Like, it would help by getting a voice, like, helping people get a voice. Like, for me, it was, like, George Floyd was, like, one of the things that inspired me, like, how protesters, like, were protesting. And so that's, like, a good way of stepping up.
That's fantastic. Just thinking about how And sometimes it can be overwhelming, I think, when we see a story like George Floyd or some of these tragic stories that are happening all around us. And sometimes we can feel a little bit powerless and we don't feel that we have a space to take action and to make a difference. And I love that this class and this project has kind of inspired all of you that it is possible. It is possible to have an impact and find your voice, and that your voice matters. I think that's an amazing thing to come away knowing. Thinking back to your stories that the three of you created, what are you most proud of about the work that you've put together building this narrative?
I'm most proud of just what I learned. I heard someone's story that I never would have before, and that's what I'm so thankful for every day. If we as people were able to hear one person's story on a daily basis, this would come down to millions of stories heard year-round, globally. As you stated before, everyone does have a voice, and everyone's voice has so much potential. I really do believe that everyone on this soil has potential. It just comes down to people being full of fears, people feeling that they aren't enough, that they don't matter. And that's not what it's about. That's one of the worst things about this society is the lack of confidence, the lack of understanding that, you know, as an individual, you do have a voice, you do have potential.
Something I'm proud of is getting to hear my sister's story, because if I didn't ask those questions, I would have never heard it, or I would have never asked those questions or thought of them even. So that's something I'm proud of, is to hear my sister's story.
To add on to what Aisha said, I felt the same way about my sister. Like, if I hadn't asked those questions or interviewed her, it would have been like nuances in her story I would have never known about. And I think it just goes back to the fact that, like, my family are immigrants. So it just comes from that perspective of like, oh, you need to survive. Like, you're in a country that is not your home country, and you need to do whatever it is for your children and for your entire family to be in a good place. And what sadly one of those things is like, you can't acknowledge all of the wounds and things that you overcame in order to get to this country. And so I think it was very important and necessary to have that conversation.
Thank you for sharing that. Would any of you like to share just a little bit of your story? Maybe not the whole thing, but a little, just an excerpt from your story.
If you share a little bit about my story, as I stated before, I believe he won't mind. He's the associate principal here at Bayando, absolutely an incredible individual. He shared with me more so on his upbringing, what it was like growing up in poverty, what it was like, for example, falling in love with the game of basketball and having to leave the game of basketball in order to take on responsibilities that he had as an only child, in order to take care of his grandma, to take care of his mother, to get him out of poverty. He expressed how it was just really difficult seeing that the people around him, his peers growing up, got to pursue basketball dreams, got to take that to the next level, whereas he had to, little by little, he could no longer make it to basketball practice. He could no longer go and practice. He could no longer go and train. He had to drop a lot of these hobbies and make a lot of sacrifices in order to get to basically where he has.
Well, here, one of the stories that I wrote. So I wrote two stories, and one of them is being a Somali American, and then the other one is about her 11th birthday car crash. For her 11th birthday, she got hit by a car at a daycare. Yeah. And she kind of wrote how she like felt right after and how her experience was. And then the first story was about her being a Somali American and what it was like to be a Somali American here. Like, for example, was she was working at Walmart, and then a customer said something to her, which is something like scarf something. And she has learned, like, she learned, that was when she learned to get her voice, and that was when she stood up to the lady. And so that's one of her stories.
One of the stories my sister had told me in the little narrative was how when she was younger and navigating the school system as like a new immigrant, and she couldn't speak English. So in her classes, she had to take a test, and it's something that's so mundane, but bubble sheets. Nobody had told her that like for each corresponding question, you would only need to fill in one bubble. So she saw other students, they're filling in bubbles, and she was like, okay, I just need to fill in some bubbles. But the ESL person who was with her was just like, no, like, you're doing too much. And she couldn't understand this. She's like, I don't speak English, and you just keep telling me too much. And it's something that's so mundane. And like, now she looks back at it, she was like, oh, I was filling in too many bubbles for each question. And so a lot of those instances happened where like somebody would say to her in broken English, hoping that she would understand, even though she doesn't understand any English. She's a child, about something that's so like normal in American culture and something that's so foreign to someone who has never been here before. So yeah.
I think it really helps us to build empathy for some of these people and some of the experiences that they've had in our community that we probably didn't know about and we probably didn't even think about. But once we kind of hear these stories and we realize that each of these people are real people and they have a background, and some of it might have been challenging. And I think it's really inspiring to be able to tell these stories and to publish these in a way where we're going to be able to share these with the community. I'm so excited that you've had this opportunity to have this experience. Is there anything else about this project that you'd like to share with those listening to the podcast that we haven't talked about?
Maybe not necessarily that we haven't talked about, but I just really, really came to see how much just goes unheard. I mean, just how difficult that is to process. People that we walk near and by on a daily basis, there's just so much that goes on a daily basis. Things that people endure on a daily basis that just never touch the surface, that goes unheard. Essentially, that's probably the biggest thing that took away from this. It's just realizing, like, just like, wow, what about the next guy? There's someone, as we speak, as I'm writing this story, someone is facing horrible, horrible adversity. Then they're probably going to proceed on with their day unheard. No one's going to know a thing of them. That's what's really difficult. And these are our peers. These are our people. We're supposed to work together as a society. That's what's just, it's just something that I really seem just difficult.
For sure. I think it is this kind of, it opens us up to kind of seeing people on a whole new level. And I wonder, what's the next step? Now that we know these stories are out there, now that we've kind of had this experience, and what's the next step to maybe move forward and bring some more of these stories into the light?
I truly believe that it starts with us. In order to encourage people to come forward, we can figure something out regarding how to get these stories out there. Let's get these stories out there. They can be anonymous, but it's just people's stories matter. And there's some truly beautiful stories out there that just, as I continuously say, go unheard. They go so unheard. So the next step is just encouraging people to come forward and just share their experience. There's nothing that you can't share without any fear of judgment or anything else. Just share your story. There's somebody out there that cares and is more than willing to hear your story. And if anything, help you publish your story if that's what it comes to.
And sometimes I think it's just a matter of taking time to engage people in conversation and just have that authentic interaction. Keo Stark has written a book about talking to strangers, and she does a really cool TED talk about some of the amazing conversations that you can have while waiting to cross the street or while waiting in line at the grocery store, and just the value of engaging people in these conversations and letting people know that you see them and they're there, and giving them an opportunity just to have that interaction as well. And I think there's some real magic that can happen there.
I was going to say, like, if I didn't ask my sister those questions, I wouldn't have known, and she's my sister, you know? And I'd say talk to a lot of people and try to get their stories. And if they want to publish it, edit it. Just, like, try to get their stories out, because you don't know what people are going through at the end of the day.
I was talking to some students about social justice, actually, at the International School of Dakar in Senegal. And one of the students there, her name is Itu. Something that she said that stuck with me is that we're all going through a human experience. And I think that connects a lot here with the work that you're doing. Some of our experiences are different, but we're all going through a human experience. I thought that was so cool. Amina, anything you'd like to add?
Not really. They covered it pretty well.
All right, cool. Thank you all so much for getting up bright and early on, as we said, a very cold day in your neighborhood. I really feel inspired having talked to you about this amazing work that you're doing. And I'm really excited to share your story with all of our listeners on the podcast. So thank you very much for spending some time with me this morning. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
I want to thank you, Scott, for doing this. It's really incredible what you are doing. Even just stepping away from the project in itself, it's, as you said, is there something that we can do? I mean, it starts with us, with things like what you're doing, just letting people know that you're not alone. That, you know, we're a society, we can work together to really move mountains. So I want to personally thank you for this opportunity. It's incredible.
My pleasure.
Yes.
All right. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Just to add on to what Emilio said. I'd also just like to thank you. It was really fun doing the podcast and just having the space to talk about all the projects that we did. So, yeah.
You are most welcome.
I also wanted to say thank you for having us on here and getting to share our stories as well.
It was inspirational to talk to all of you. And I love this kind of work. And, you know, it's a Friday night and it's been amazing to stick around and have a conversation with all of you this evening. If you've enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going on Twitter at @ScottJ_onWheels, or you can find out more about Inspire Citizens on our website, inspirecitizens.org. Thanks for listening.